Good afternoon. Welcome into another edition of Talk of the Town. I am Jason Allen. Today I am joined by Gary Malacarney from Elkland Search and Rescue. And Gary, first of all, thanks for being here with us today on Talk of the Town.
Well, thanks, Jason, and thanks for having me here to represent Elkland Search and Rescue. Really appreciate that.
Absolutely. And it's been about 2 years now since we've had you here to talk about the Fish Derby. And you're coming up on another year. And how many years is it now?
This will be our 23rd Fishing Derby. So it's been going on for quite a few years. And still is exciting and still, a lot of fun for people.
So it still gets you going every year?
Still gets you going. Yeah, it's great. It's great. I say it every year, but, you know, it really is a family-oriented event. It's great to see, you know, the kids come down, their parents, their grandparents, aunts, uncles, and it's just a nice family experience for the weekend.
Yeah. Now, how did you get involved? Now, you're with Elkland Search and Rescue, correct?
Right. I am with Elkland Search and Rescue. I actually serve as the vice president, and I'm also the assistant chief. But I have a very, very active committee and a co-chairman, Mike Kersing, who works with me. And the committee is very, very active in promoting and carrying out the Fish Derby. And I got involved with it probably about 4 years ago. I've been in Elkland about 6 years, and ever since I got involved, I'm just hooked on it.
So. Now you've only been around it, I guess, for 4 years, which longer than me, I'll say that. what do you know what it was that made them decide, hey, let's have a fishing derby? Where did that idea come from? Do you know?
You know, I think way back when they were just looking for, at the time, you know, something a little bit different than your usual fundraising, you know, mm-hmm. than your door-to-door selling and things like that. Because we are a nonprofit organization, we only have two major fundraisers a year, this being the first one, our annual fishing derby, and the other one being our annual fall fund drive.
And what's that fund drive?
It's just a letter mailing campaign that goes out to all the people, you know, in the county asking for their support.
Okay.
You know, because we are volunteer, you know, there's a lot of expenses for upkeep of equipment and keeping equipment new and updated and, you know, keeping members safe, you know, while we're out there doing searches or rescues and things like that. So that's how it came about.
Yeah. Now, how'd you get involved with Elkland Search and Rescue?
How did I get involved? Actually, a friend of mine had been talking about it for quite some time and asked me one day if I would be interested. And I really am an outdoorsy person. You know, I hunt, I fish, I hike. I was a Boy Scout. Love being in the outdoors. In my professional life as a pharmacist, you know, I love helping people. So I kind of put the two together in getting to be in the outdoors to do search and rescue. And then at the same time, really being there and being able to help people, help families, you know, find their loved ones, rescue someone, and really bring, you know, hopefully a happy ending to sometimes a bad situation.
Yeah. Now, how long did that take you to, I don't know if you had to go in and get any certifications?
Yeah, there's a lot of training that's involved. At Elkland, we use what we call the buddy system. So when I came into Elkland, I was assigned a mentor. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we do monthly trainings at our headquarters in St. Mary's. We've just got in 4 or 5 new members now that are in training. And we train them in all aspects of search and rescue. You know, everything from water rescue to wilderness rescue to medical care out in the field and wilderness mm-hmm. medicine. Things like that, how to survive, you know, especially if it's, you know, a 20-degree night and the snow's blowing and it's cold. And, you know, there's a lot of things you got to worry about besides searching for that person.
Right.
You've got to keep your, you know, your team safe, too.
So what does that training look like? I think it's a really cool thing that you guys
do.
Well,
a lot of it is actually done. There's actually the National Association for Search and Rescue. Has courses, and we are part of the National Association of Search and Rescue.
Okay.
A lot of the courses are offered through them. They'll bring people in local. And when I say local, I don't mean local county-wise, but maybe local to the region. And we will go and attend. Also, the Pennsylvania Search and Rescue Council as well offers trainings, you know, not only for individuals, but for even groups. If Elkland wanted to go as a group, you know, and train in a certain aspect of search and rescue. We do it that way. And then we also have people who have been in Elkland, our deputy chief and our chief, John Feldbauer and Matt Young. They have been in Elkland for many, many years. They have a lot of training and certifications under their belt, and they provide a lot of the very, very local training right at the Elkland station.
Let's say that we're out in the woods, and or maybe I'm out in the woods by myself, and I get lost. What is the best thing that I can do?
The best thing that you can do, and believe it or not, a lot of people don't believe this, is stay calm, and don't panic, and stay put.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unless you're in a life-threatening situation, you're bleeding, you're injured, you know, where you know that you need to get to medical help. If you can at all stay in that spot that you're at, it really helps us out and stay calm. The biggest thing that we find with most people is people panic and they just take off.
Mm-hmm.
And they start going in all different directions. They walk in circles.
And use their energy.
They use their energy up. And if it's a cold night, you can become hypothermic. If it's a hot day, you can get heat exhaustion. So I think the best advice I give people, and when I talk to people about search, is stay calm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a cell phone, you know, keep it on. Try to dial out. Even if you can't dial out, a lot of times we can, you know, ping your phone.
Yeah.
And at least get in the location as to where to, you know, to come and look for you.
How about maybe it's a cold night or something like that? Besides staying put, what can somebody do to maybe to stay warm?
The best thing to do, if there's a lot of snow, you know, shelter is by far, you know, a big advantage, especially if it's a windy, cold mm-hmm. night, snowing a lot. You know, build yourself a shelter, dig yourself as simple as a hole in the snow. Mm-hmm. Put some branches up, you know, yeah. pack it with leaves and hemlock branches. Just get yourself out of the elements. If you have fire starting material, I mean, that would definitely be a big help. If you don't have fire starting material, you know, the best thing you can do, if there are a couple of you, huddle up, stay together, but, you know, get out of those elements as much as you can.
Perfect. Well, maybe we just help somebody today that, you know, will be helped in the future because of it.
Hopefully.
So, let's talk about this upcoming Fishing Derby, 23rd annual Elkland Search and Rescue Fishing Derby. And where is it being held this year? Same place?
Yep, same place we have it every year. It's going to be on May 6th and 7th,
mm-hmm.
Which will be coming up here very shortly. We have it, and it actually starts at the bridge out on Glen Hazel Road, the east branch of the Clarion River, and it ends down at Bendigo State Park.
Okay.
So it's about a mile and a half, mile and three quarters of stream. You know, a lot of different types of trout in there. We got brook trout, brown trout, rainbow trout. We stock mostly brown trout, but the Fish Commission stocks it. And some of the local clubs, I know the Paper Mill in Johnsonburg stocks it, Straw Brewery stocks it, camp owners will stock it once in a while. So there's a lot of fish in there. So that's why we really want the kids to come down and have a good time.
Now take me through the weekend start to finish. It's the 6th and the 7th. Where do you go to register? When can you register? How does that whole process work?
Right now, we have our pre-registration in process. Mm-hmm. We actually send out mailers to people who have attended in the past, and those will be our fishermen. And then we also send out sponsor letters. And the sponsor letters are for people to sponsor fish, which is how, you know, you can earn a lot of money if you're catching fish with tags. Depending on how, you know, how much money we get from sponsors, determines how much, you know, how many fish we tag and how much we put in the creek. Last year we had over $10,000 in the creek.
Wow.
And we're hoping to surpass that this year. If you can't pre-register, and right now up until April 29th, pre-registration is $15. If you want an application, you can go to our website, www.elklandsar.com. You can call myself or Mike Herzing, the co-chairman of the Fish Derbies, and we also have applications and sponsor forms at a lot of locations throughout the county, so you can check at one of those places. Fill the application out. Once the application is filled, we will provide you with a button, and that button lets us know that you're registered for the Fishing Derby. We're also going to be down at the check-in station on Friday night, the evening before May 6th. And we're going to be there from 3 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. for any people who are coming in, because we have a lot of people that come from out of town who want to come down and register then. But you can register right up to the Derby. You can even register during the Derby.
Okay.
You know, we have a registration table there. So you register, you get your pin. If you want to be, if you're an adult, you want to be in the Big Trout contest, it'll cost you an extra $5. And we give half those proceeds to the adult that catches the biggest tag fish. And we also have a big fish contest for the kids as well. And I believe we use 12 and under. And all it's required is that they're registered for the Derby. And for them, we give out the top three fish. We give money prizes. And it can be any fish. It doesn't have to be a tagged fish. So it can be any fish that's
for
caught out of
the
For
both kids
prey.
And adults? Or
nope, just for the kids.
Just for the kids, okay.
Yeah. For the adults, it's the tagged fish.
Okay. And
basically, you hit the creek and fish and have a good time.
Now, what kind of prizes? You said you're still looking for more, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you will be up until the
sure,
day.
Sure, yep.
What prizes do you know of that are already going to be in the creek this year?
I'm thinking that we'll probably have at least $1,000 fish. We'll probably have a couple of $500 fish, some $250 fish. The minimum amount to sponsor fish is $25, which is kind of unique because even if you pay the late registration of $20 and you catch a $25 fish, you've actually made some money on the
sure.
Derby for the day. So, you know, again, just another nice incentive for people who maybe aren't going to catch the $500 fish or the $1,000 fish. You know, you can catch a couple $25 fish and still do very well.
Yeah. Hey, I'm not a fisherman myself, but I'm sure I could cast it out there and catch a $25 fish. But they're not all going to have prizes inside of them. Some of them are just tagged.
Right.
Maybe the biggest one is not going to have any money inside of it, but it's the
right.
biggest one. So
right. That's it. Exactly. Exactly.
Now, what happens when somebody catches a fish? How's that process
When somebody
work?
Catches a fish, all that we require is that it be brought to us in live condition, and you know, for obvious reasons, because we don't want people catching them, you know, the night before and bringing them in the next day.
Yeah.
So most people, we provide them with bags. Most people carry buckets with water in. Some people will bring fish up as they catch them. Some people will wait. They'll take a bucket and catch a few of them with tags and then bring those up. What we like to do is we like to do catch and release. So we bring them up, we remove the tag, we give them a receipt so that they can go and collect their money. And then if they don't want the fish for consumption, we put it right back mm-hmm. in the creek. And the kids help us with that, and they love that part of it. They love to help restock the fish.
Should. I'm sure if anybody catches the $1,000 or $500 fish, they'll be bringing them to you right away.
Yeah, that one usually
There's usually no delay.
That one usually comes pretty quick.
Look what I just caught.
And usually word gets to us before the person even gets there. It just travels up the creek.
I heard shouting down the way. Somebody must have caught the big one. Now, all the proceeds go to Elkland Search and Rescue. Is
right.
that correct?
That is correct. All the proceeds go to Elkland Search and Rescue. Again, I said this is, you know, the first of our two major fundraisers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we really appreciate all the support that we get, you know, not only from our communities here, but from a lot of the people that come from outside the area, from our local sponsors. You know, we appreciate everything that they do and all their support, you know, in helping us out.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned equipment. It's expensive. What kind of equipment does Elkland use, need, maybe would like to get in the future?
We are constantly trying to upgrade our equipment. You know, as new technology comes out, one of the things that we added about 3 years ago was an unmanned aerial vehicle, or as most people know it, is a drone. And, you know, that has come to be very useful. It has a camera attached to it, you know, for a quick search over some mountainous area or area where it's maybe dangerous to send mm-hmm. searchers in. We can cover a lot of area, get some good close-ups. We also have ATVs and UTVs. We have a mobile command unit, which actually has all the communications equipment that we need, all the planning, all the forms, all the maps, everything that we need. We can go right wow. out into the middle of wherever the search is and conduct our operations from right there, which is kind of unique. You know, we don't have to look for a building with a room in or anything like that. We have a utility vehicle. We're looking right now at getting an additional trailer. We have a trailer right now that the utility vehicle pools that hauls one of our UTVs and a lot of our equipment. We carry water rescue equipment. We carry ropes. We carry all kinds of search and rescue equipment that we need when we're out in the field doing our searches, GPSs, things like that. So, and, you know, with GPSs, with drones, you know, and even with UTVs, ATVs, you know, maintenance is important, and certainly upgrading is important.
Right. So take me through the process. Maybe you get a call, somebody's lost in the woods or, out on some water, I don't know, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. What's the process look like at Elkland Search and Rescue? Somebody gets a phone call?
The process usually is, and it usually goes two different ways. Mm-hmm. If we get, say, a person would directly call Elk County Emergency Management, 911.
Right.
Most of the time what they would do is put them in contact with our chief. So our chief would call them, talk to them, and then if it was felt that Elkland needed to be activated, he would tell county to go ahead and activate Elkland Search and Rescue. We're activated just like the fire departments are. You know, we all carry minuters. We have certain tones. When those tones go off, everybody goes. The other way, we do get called for a lot of searches out of the county. You know, we've been as far north as New York. We've been down to Virginia, out in eastern Pennsylvania for a lot of different searches. Usually when those come in, county will just automatically dispatch us, you know, because they have all the details. Once we get dispatched and everybody gets that message, for us to get our equipment, get hooked up and out the door, usually takes about 10 minutes.
Wow.
We're on the road.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Now, you mentioned you got called to other places, New York, Virginia. Now, is that out of necessity of, hey, we need more searchers, or is it because you guys are really well respected, or maybe both?
Both, actually. Yeah, we've been to searches where, you know, and our biggest thing is when we show up at a search or a rescue, if we're not going to be in command, in other words, if we're not going to be running the search or the rescue, you know, our biggest thing is you tell us what you want from us. You know, we can provide just about anything you need. You tell us what you need. Two, you know, the other extreme where, you know, we've been called to searches out of the area where they say, you know, would you come and run command for us? You know, would you operate this search and set it all up and get teams out in the field? So it's kind of a mixed bag depending on the situation.
Sure.
We do have a very good reputation, though. I will say that, you know, especially in Pennsylvania.
That's good to hear, and especially for this area, it's a very large area for outdoors, and it's something that's really necessary when you're in that situation, and hopefully that never comes, but it's always nice to know that there's a little peace of mind knowing that somebody out there is going to have your back in one of your most desperate times, and I think that's awesome.
Exactly, and, you know, and those are the times that we get called.
Yeah.
And one of the other things that's so important to us, and we tell people, is, you know, don't wait too long to call us. You know, if somebody is missing, we would rather be called and start heading toward a search and get a call and say stand down, than you not calling us at all and waiting and waiting and waiting. Because as you know, once nighttime comes, once bad weather sets in, it just makes the search that much tougher and that much harder on, you know, whoever we're looking for.
And I think another important thing to know, I'm a backpacker, so I like going out, finding trails. So I always do two things. Number one is I tell somebody else where I'm going. So
very important.
I usually don't go alone, but I tell somebody else where I'm going, and then I tell them if I'm not back by, I expect to be back maybe, let's say, by 1 o'clock. If I'm not back by 4 or 5 o'clock, that's the time that, you know, because
you should
if you
be
haven't
thinking
heard from
about.
Me, yeah, I should have been back hours ago, or maybe I should have given you a phone call.
Exactly.
That's, you know, that's the time that you should probably start worrying and get in contact
exactly.
with
Preparation
somebody.
Is huge. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a hunter, a hiker, a backpacker, a kayaker, it doesn't matter. Preparation right. is huge. Always let someone know where you're going. Let them know a get back time, and then they'll know
right.
it's time to take some action. You never know. It's as simple as you're backpacking, you slip on a rock, you break your leg.
Break a leg.
Now you're
yep.
stuck. You know, and until that time comes and goes, if you can't contact them,
right?
You know,
because you're out of service
yeah.
most of the time. And
exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
Exactly.
Do you have any rescue stories that maybe would be really cool that come to the top of your head?
There's been so many different types. I mean, they're all unique in their own way.
Yeah.
You know, depending on the circumstances. I guess for me, the best ones are the ones that always end well. You know, where we find our victim or our patient, and we can really, put the family's mind at ease. And even if it isn't a good outcome, if we happen to find someone deceased, at least we can bring closure to the family.
Sure.
And kind of protect their loved one, mm-hmm. And get them out of whatever situation they're in safely.
Yeah. Well, let's go through the details one more time about the 23rd annual Elkland Search and Rescue Fishing Derby, which of course goes to benefit Elkland Search and Rescue. And if you could give us the details, when, where, some of the prizes again, and the cost.
Sure. Right now, registration is open, and like I said previously, you can get an application off of our website. We also have one on our Facebook page. If you do Facebook, get out there. They're distributed throughout the county in different locations. Get your application, fill it out, get it in before the 29th. It only costs you $15. And after the 29th, it's going to cost you $20. Now, on Saturday, May 29th, we are going to be having a pre-registration at the Elkland building from 12:30 to 4 p.m. So anybody that wants to get in under that $15 deadline, you can come right down to the Elkland building and register that day. Once you're registered, you can come Friday evening and pick up your pins.
It's the 5th, May 5th.
Yeah, May 5th, you can come down. Thank you. Pick up your pins, or you can pick them up the morning of the Derby. We start fishing at 7 a.m. Saturday morning, and we're going to fish till 7 on Saturday. And on Sunday, we're going to fish from 7 in the morning until 5:30. We hopefully are going to have... at least $10,000, we're hoping, or maybe more in the creek. So your chances to catch, some big money fish are good. Maybe $1,000 fish, a couple 500s, 250s. But, even the smallest prize of $25, is well worth the registration for the event. So we hope everybody comes down. We hope we're going to have a beautiful weekend. We got food. We've got refreshments. We've got facilities there if you need facilities at the check-in station. We really try to make it a family weekend for everybody.
Yeah. Well, Gary, it sounds like you guys are set for another great year. I wish you the best of luck. Wish you the best of luck with the weather as well. Hopefully it's going to be just great weather. I don't know. We've had some good weather the past couple of weeks. So.
We're keeping our fingers crossed.
That's right.
And again, thanks, Jace, for having us. We appreciate the Hound letting us come in and talk about our fish derby.